Well, my friend, our friend and neighbor, John Sheldon Reed, is, if you didn't really know this, is barbecue expert and scholar of Southern culture. He's the author of many, many books. Ones that I want him to talk about today are about barbecue. The first one he wrote with his wife and the help of
William McKinney.
William McKinney wrote Holy Smoke, the big book of North Carolina barbecue, which is acknowledged by every barbecue aficionado that I talk to as being sort of the Bible of North Carolina barbecue. And then more recent, and that has just come out in a revised edition in paperback, so right. It's more affordable. And then also we're talking about his recent book, a smaller book, a cookbook called Just Simply Barbecue, and that's part of a UNC series on Savor the South series. And he's been around talking, and I've been listening to him as he talks about barbecue and its history. John Sheldon Reed, welcome.
Thanks, DG. It's always good to be chatting with you, whether we're on the mic or not. You
know? It's fun for me, too, and I always learn a lot of new things. And I heard you talk recently before the election about politics and barbecue. Yes. And I wonder if you have some thoughts either about past elections or the most recent election and barbecue.
Sure. Yeah, politics and barbecue, you know, go together like, I don't know. Help me. Go together like things that go to two things that go together and always have. You know, barbecues, the occasions brought together folks. Many Southern communities had a monthly barbecue day where they cooked hogs and sides of beef and whatnot. And people came from all around to eat and dance and drink and gamble. George Washington records in his diary about winning some money at barbecue in Alexandria. And once you get these crowds assembled, obviously politicians are drawn to this because they can give speeches and people hear them, drawn to it like flies, you might say. And in time, politicians started throwing their own barbecues just to assemble crowds to hear them speak. And one of the fellow whose name I'm blocking on right now, but who was a newspaper editor in North Carolina, said no man has ever been elected governor of North Carolina without eating more barbecue than is good for him. Guys would make the rounds and eat barbecue. A Georgia politician at one time said he wasn't going to sponsor any more barbecues because he lost an election, and he said, I don't think everybody ate my barbecue voted for me. I'm sure he's right about that.
Well, it's a bribe then. It's not just to get attention and to assemble and listen to me speak, but if I give you barbecue, I kind of expect, just like I gave you a bottle of liquor, I'm expecting you to vote for me.
Right, except it's not a legally binding contract. And, you know, the undecided folks can show up. You want the undecided folks to show up so they'll have to hear your speech, and they might just decide the other way.
Yeah,
that's
the
way it goes, win some, lose some. Anyhow, the politics go and barbecue in North Carolina go way back. There's an event that a fellow named Dan Levine and I are trying to publicize because we want a new holiday in North Carolina, a new state holiday. We don't have enough holidays. This one, in 1766, Governor Tryon, the royal governor.
Well, this is before independence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He was trying to curry favor with the local patriots, and so he threw a barbecue for the New Hanover militia. But they were having none of it. They were upset about the Stamp Act. So as one account goes, they took the ox that he'd roasted and threw it in the river and poured out all the beer. And so we think, since this came 7 or 8 years before the Boston Tea Party, you know, we have primacy here, and everybody's heard of the Boston Tea Party, but we need to publicize the Wilmington barbecue. So Dan and I are suggesting, and as soon as we figure out who our governor is, maybe we'll get some headway here, suggesting that we need the last Monday in February should be Wilmington Barbecue Day in North Carolina. And we're encouraged to believe that this has bipartisan support, and they just haven't got around to doing anything about it yet.
So what you just – is that's not a very sexy – Wilmington barbecue, we don't want to – can't you get ox or spoiled ox in there?
Boston Tea Party is not all that sexy either, but everybody's heard about it, you know.
Good luck.
Yeah, if you think of a better name, you let me know. But I should say Dan and I are the founders and principal members. Y'all,
if I could get one of you all to go along, I've got 50% of the governing board.
Yeah,
to,
this is the campaign for real barbecue, which...
Well, there's more to the... Before we leave the holiday, how would we celebrate the barbecue? Because we don't have oxes very much
no,
to...
You'd have to have a barbecue, you know, and since barbecue now in North Carolina means pork... I mean, that's we get, as one guy said, hogmatic about this. We could cook pork, but the point is you just sit around and eat barbecue and reminisce about the old days when we were defying the royal governor.
Well, now, as you describe it, there had to be something about throwing the oxen in the river. I mean, if we reenacted the tea party, it wouldn't just be we would drink
some
tea.
Ladies down in Wilmington, I'm told, the DAR are talking about reenacting this if this happens. They'll have a reenactment. I think they will stop before they actually pitch the beef in the river. That'd be a waste.
Last Monday in February, is there any chance that we can do this the next time February comes around?
I don't think it's going to happen that quickly.
Why don't you?
We could do it unofficially.
Why don't you host... get started at your house with your pig because I know you have some cooking equipment there.
I'll think about that, DG. We're not going to invite the whole state though, and I think this is something the whole state should celebrate.
Right. Well, I would be a good start.
Yeah,
that would be as representative of the rest of the people. What about other? That's a I guess that was politics at its best, and that's when you stand up and confront authority and tell them you're not going to take it anymore.
That's right.
What about politics? What more about politics?
Well, let me digress for a moment.
Okay.
Just a moment. I mentioned Dan Levine, and Dan is my buddy. He's a barbecue blogger and knows an awful lot about North Carolina barbecue. He and I founded this thing called the Campaign for Real Barbecue. I'll say no more about it except that you can go online at trueq.org.
TrueQue.org. Okay.
Read about the Campaign for Real Barbecue. We are upset that a great many places in the state are no longer cooking with wood, and we want to reverse this unfortunate trend.
Well, you are well known in the barbecue community as being, I'm trying to think of a nice word, but
fundamentalist.
being tough-minded about the definition of barbecue, and most of us go in and order barbecue in any little restaurant, and we get something that's tastes good. It's been cooked right and got some nice sauce on it, and mm-hmm. it's called barbecue, and we think it's barbecue. You turn up your nose at most of this stuff.
Well, Pete Jones down at the Skylight Inn in Aden said once, you know, if it's not cooked with wood, it isn't barbecue. And
you agree with that?
I do agree with that. Roasting pork with gas or electricity and putting barbecue sauce on it and calling it barbecue, I say in the cookbook, is like putting kosher salt on it and calling it kosher. It just doesn't work, you know. But it can taste good. I'll give you that. However, I think the wave of the future probably is a sort of hybrid cooker that uses gas or electricity to maintain the temperature for some of the heat, but also has wood and smoke involved. Now, the places that we're celebrating with our campaign and the ones we're recognizing are the ones that are really old school.
A real pit and a real
do it 100% with wood or charcoal. We're soft on charcoal because, basically once it's lit, coals are coals.
There are purists.
There are people who
say if it's not hickory wood, it doesn't really work.
Oak is okay. Come on, an apple, you know. No, hickory smoked barbecue is what you hear about. But a lot of places down east cook with oak, and, you know, God bless them, they're not cooking with gas, at least.
Well, what is it about the wood flavor? Or now I'm just shocked and I'm kind of stumbling around because I don't believe it that you say charcoal is as good as wood. What is it about the wood-type products and as they burn or simmer, what is it that they deliver to the meat that can't be delivered some other way?
Now, I didn't quite say that charcoal's as good as wood. I said we acknowledge these places as...
They can be true barbecue places under your and Dan Levine's true cue.
And, in fact, you can cook good barbecue with one of these hybrid cookers, but the people who really do it right are sitting up with it all night. They don't just set the cooker and go away and come back the next morning.
So there's a degree, even among the true Q, there are degrees A higher degree would be the guy who stays up all night with the wood coals and watching the barbecue all night. The guy who qualifies, but he does it because he's got a better, expensive machine that both smokes and heats it with gas. You let him be in there too.
I'll eat his barbecue. You bet.
No, but I mean, you'll let him be in this exclusive designation of true.
We're not saying he's not cooking real barbecue. It's just barbecue. The guys that cook 100% with gas, that's not barbecue. But
that's not
they call it that. So, you know, in fact, they sell it as that. I won't start naming names, but a great many places these days are doing that. And, you know, it can taste all right, but if it tastes like anything, it doesn't taste like wood smoke. It tastes like gas. You know, I can taste gas. You know. However, I should point out, a lot of these places that changed over to gas will tell you that their customers didn't notice. And if that's true, that's a very regrettable situation.
Well,
so another thing that the campaign is trying to do is to educate
people,
consumers.
To discern it.
That's right.
I'm visiting with John Sheldon Reed. We're talking about his great expertise in barbecue, and he and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. My guest is John Sheldon Reed. We're talking about barbecue. If you joined us late, of course, he, in addition to many other things, he has taught us about Southern culture and other things. Two great books on barbecue, Holy Smoke, which is the classic and has just recently been re-released in paperback with a new introduction, a new foreword by John Reed, and Barbecue.
And my wife.
Oh, and she helped you with this, of course. She's I'm really, well, we should have Dale in here telling us what's really happening. And then the book that you wrote by yourself, Barbecue, and it's a cookbook, and you worked really hard on that book, testing out the recipes.
And Dale, well, let me tell you, we wrote this book about North Carolina barbecue, Holy Smoke, for UNC Press. And they, as you said, they have this series of little cookbooks on individual topics. There's one on cornbread, there's one on bourbon, there's one on, you know, greens, there's one on, like that. And they wanted one in the series on barbecue, so they asked us if we'd do it. And simultaneously, I said yes, and Dale said no.
You had to do it. How was it like working by yourself?
Well, it was all right. And in fact, she didn't get off the hook. I mean, I was doing the testing the recipes, but she was eating them and giving me her opinion. You know, so she ate a lot of stuff that didn't make it to the cookbook. So she paid her dues, and I'm grateful to her for that. But the Holy Smoke is called, subtitled, The Big Book of North Carolina Barbecue. The cookbook, just called Barbecue, is a much smaller book on a much bigger subject because I'm talking about Southern barbecue generally. So there are recipes in here from Texas and Kentucky and even Missouri, and as well as the Deep South, all around Gulf Coast of Florida. We're cooking fish down, smoking mullet down there.
While you're talking about that and reaching out from North Carolina, we have different kinds of barbecue in North Carolina, but I remember you're saying other times that North Carolina barbecue, as compared to the barbecue that's cooked in other states, is really different, and that the subsets don't stand out very much when stood up to the other regions.
The big culture wars in North Carolina between the Eastern style and Piedmont style. Eastern style is how everybody cooked until the turn of the last century. And there are other places outside of North Carolina.
Turn of the last century being 1900?
1900. About the time of World War I, Lexington style or Piedmont style emerged. And that's a historical story of some interest. But
Well, I am interested in that. Told that story before, but so you're as a historian and as a conservator of old ways of doing things, you say Eastern North Carolina barbecue was the way we used to do it, and Lexington or Piedmont barbecue is a new way of doing, relatively new way of doing things, and it's not, therefore, not totally authentic.
Well, no. I don't say that.
Don't
put words in my mouth. It's not the old way, but they would tell you it's a new and improved way, and my wife agrees with them. You know, people would ask us, do you prefer Eastern or Piedmont? We hedged. We tried to say, you know, whichever one is nearest is what we prefer. But if they pushed us to the wall, I would say Eastern, and she'd say Piedmont. And she can defend her position, you know. They're cooking – well, let me tell you what's going on in the East, in places like Wilbur's at Goldsboro, or the Skylight Inn in Aden, or Bee's in Greenville, or Grady's in Dudley. places like this. They're cooking whole hogs, and they're wood cooking them, goes without saying, cooking whole hogs, and they're seasoning them with the sauce that's vinegar, red pepper, and salt. And,
very simple.
And, yeah, and perhaps not much else, usually not much else. And they might have a pinch of this, pinch of that. But that's how everybody was cooking barbecue as late as 1900. I mean, and in Texas, too, incidentally, not just...
And we're talking... Did this way of cooking apply primarily to hogs way back, or were there
it with all kinds of animals? There's an account by a fellow, an ex-slave who was interviewed in the 1920s, I think, or 30s, talking about his boyhood in South Carolina, and he tended the pit all night long. He talked about anointing these things with this sauce that's the same sauce they're using in Goldsboro today, and he said they were cooking hogs and sheep and sides of beef and. Lord knows people cooked possums and squirrels and things like that, game of various kinds, fowl, chickens.
So could the...
In Maryland, they even cooked turtles this way.
Could the method of this super way of cooking that you are bound to, which is cooking over wood coals, make almost any kind of animal meat taste good?
I think so. You know, it's particularly good with tough or gnarly cuts like pork shoulder or ribs.
And the reason for that,
beef brisket, for that matter.
The reason for that is that the slow cooking breaks down. The secret is the slow cooking rather than the wood coals.
Yeah, I mean, you get the same effect if you put it in the oven for 12 hours at 215 degrees.
Yeah. When you broke away from North Carolina barbecue to write the cookbook that covers barbecue in other regions, what did you learn, and what did your taste did you learn to like and love other kinds of barbecued meat products?
Well, let me tell you first what happened in the Piedmont, because about 100 years ago, these guys in Lexington and Salisbury, they're all guys, started cooking just shoulders instead of whole hogs. They were running little stands, and if you cook a shoulder, you know, you have less left over at the end of the day.
So that was the reason they moved to shoulders, think?
That was part of it. They also thought shoulders were tasted better than...
That's the better part of the hog.
Go straight for it, you know. And they weren't butchering their own hogs anyway. The guys in Lexington were going to...
To some supply store
a grocery store that's still there on the Courthouse Square.
Is that right?
I'm blocking on the name right now, but...
Double name, I remember.
Yeah, something and something, and they're both German names. And incidentally, we know who started cooking Lexington and Salisbury style barbecue, and they all have names that were at some point in the past German. And so they're cooking shoulders, and they're putting a sauce on it, which is basically the Eastern sauce with a little bit of ketchup or tomato paste or something added to give it a colors it, makes it a little sweeter. Gives it, excuse the word, umami. You put this together, and basically, DG, what you're getting is very much like a dish that Dale and I ate in Bavaria 2 years ago. I mean, these are German guys, and there's this sweet and sour pork taste that they maintained. And, you know, they're all Lutheran, too. The religion and taste in food seem to persist, you know. They changed their names, you know. Weber became Weaver, and Schweissgut became Schweissgut, you know. But Dale, my wife, is a genealogist. She chased them back
all the way back to the homeland.
Most of them came to North Carolina in the 1700s, many of them by way of Pennsylvania, but they all had German names, and they brought their religion and their taste in food with them. And the coleslaw that you get in the Piedmont is a German slaw. It's no mustard. I mean, no mayonnaise in it. It's a vinegar-based slaw.
Well, where did the mayonnaise base on the eastern side come? Where did that come from?
Well, you know, you didn't put mayonnaise in slaw till rather late in the game because it would kill you. You had to have good refrigeration. But this kind of vinegar-based slaw was quite common everywhere. What they started doing in the Piedmont was putting some of their barbecue sauce in it. But people started putting mayonnaise and, to some extent, mustard in it when the mayonnaise and mustard were available and refrigeration was
so these are just little drops that sort of enhance the basic vinegar.
If you go to the Skylight Inn in Aden, I have some of the slaw I really love. It's great stuff. They won't tell you what's in it, of course, but you know, I'm sure it's got mayonnaise and mustard, maybe Durkee salad dressing. I don't know, but it's good. it's slightly yellow. So I mean, but it doesn't taste like mustard exactly. So
I'm visiting with John Sheldon Reed. We're talking about barbecue, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with John Sheldon Reed. We're talking about, I want to say, his favorite topic, and it's also the source of real scholarship in terms of the books that he has put together. I just have to say my favorite one is the one that he did with his wife, Dale, and with William McKinney called Holy Smoke. The news, if you join us late, is that that book is now available in paperback, updated. And because it's in paperback, it's a much more reasonable cost than the hardback.
Yeah. Speaking as an author, I don't make my living writing books. I'd like to see more copies sold. The press, understandably, wants to make more money. So from my point of view, they could give them away, you know.
Yeah, yeah. pay you anything
get more readers. But so from my point of view, I wish it were cheaper, but it's not unreasonable. Let's put it that way.
Well, I can't remember exactly what the price is, but it's under $20, I think, for the paperback. And
I don't think it is, DJ.
It isn't?
Well, you know,
20,
if you
20
go to,
some dollars.
If you go to a discounter, it will be, yeah. I mean, online discounter, who I won't name because I don't approve of them. But
anyway, that's if you want a cheaper book, get the cookbook, or there's another book that I'm promoting these days.
Yes, indeed. I keep your book in my glove compartment, DJ. Oh, I want you to know that's a great guide.
Well,
to
I stole book. Most of it from you.
I helped you maybe with the barbecue things, but you're on your own with the others.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about two topics.
Yes. You asked a question earlier, and then I stole the discussion and turned it in another direction, but you asked about outside of North Carolina. And once you get beyond Statesville or so, even in the mountains, you start getting a different kind of thing. Instead of seasoning it with a sauce that's basically vinegar-based, and it's vinegar-based in both East and the Piedmont. People talk about ketchup-based sauce.
It's a little bit of enhancer that's different. But essentially, except for being whole hog, these barbecue
sauces are
similar.
They call them sauces. They call it dip in the Piedmont, but they're much more like each other than either one is like what you begin to get up around Asheville.
And then talk about that. Yeah.
Well, what you get, you know, North Carolina sauces are vinegar with stuff in it. You know, in most of the South, leave aside a part of South Carolina, most of it, it's ketchup with stuff in it. Okay, and you go to the grocery store, Kraft barbecue sauce that came along in 1950 something. I mean, thick, sweet.
It's ketchup with a lot of sugar, sometimes brown sugar.
Yeah,
and,
it may have a little heat. It may have liquid smoke in it. You know, but basically, it's enhanced ketchup, and it can be very good. Don't misunderstand me. You know, and I like it on burgers and. You know, if I burn my ribs, it's good. It'll hide the taste. You know, that's what I don't care about is it. You can't taste the meat. There's a guy in Kansas City named Gates who's been cooking for a long time, and he says his sauce tastes good on broccoli. And, you know, it even tastes good on cardboard. You know, you put it on anything, you taste the sauce, and the sauce is very good. But quickly. Major barbecue regions. In the Deep South, you get pork shoulder, to be sure. You also get ribs as a standalone product. You know, in North Carolina, if you want ribs, you go to a rib place because ribs per se are not barbecue. You get them if you cook a whole hog. So pork shoulder and ribs in the Deep South. In Memphis, capital of the Deep South. In Texas, you get another story. The Germans are part of this story, too. You had German meat markets and Czech meat markets started smoking their meat. So you get brisket, you get sausage, you know, you get all kinds of meat.
And these are strangers to us in terms of what we get at real barbecue places in North Carolina.
Yeah, Texas barbecue is they do cook shoulders.
Are they cooking hogs or are they cooking cows?
Not whole hogs. They're cooking pork shoulders, though. Mm. But they're cooking brisket, and they're cooking beef ribs as well as pork ribs, and they're cooking sausage. But basically, they'll smoke anything, you know, goats. Texas is another whole story, and I could talk about that longer than you care to listen. Kansas City came late to the game. It's basically an outpost of Memphis, although they don't like me to put it that way. But a guy went there from Memphis and started cooking, and Kansas City barbecue is basically any kind of meat with a thick red sauce on it, and it has some Texas.
How do you feel about the Kansas City cabal announcing that they are the center of barbecue in America?
Well, DG, you pulled my trigger there, man. Kansas City Barbecue Society, very active, very well organized. They sponsor all the barbecue, nearly all of the barbecue cooking competitions around the South, which are more and more common. You see them on television, the Food Network. And you cook by Kansas City rules, you know. And they brought some order to this unruly and undisciplined matter. They've told you what the criteria are for good ribs and what the criteria. And so you have to cook ribs, you have to cook brisket, you have to cook pork shoulder, and you have to cook chicken, all four of those.
And you cook them under your rules with wood coals. They go with you. Yeah, they're with you on that.
Say for Kansas City, yeah, no gas. 100% wood or charcoal. She used charcoal. But, you know, basically Kansas City-style barbecue always wins. I mean, you're free to put North Carolina sauce on it, you know, or no sauce at all like some Texans do, or for that matter mustard sauce like they use in parts of South Carolina, but you'll lose. I mean, it's as simple as that. So I kind of resent that because you're getting a sort of uniform style of barbecue. A lot of these competition guys now are opening up barbecue places in places like North Carolina, and they're serving the kind of
serving the kind barbecue of barbecue, and we think it's our barbecue, but it's not.
And it tastes really good. It's just not what is traditional. I fear it's going to be an invasive species, you know, and sort of edge out the classic North Carolina barbecue.
I don't want to get you off track, but one of the things that I like about many of the North Carolina barbecue places that I love is that they concentrate basically on a very simple menu of barbecue and slaw and hush puppies and maybe beans. But it's essentially the same menu all the time. They do it night after night after night. And now there's some other places who call themselves barbecue, and they're just cooking all kinds of different things.
Yeah, mix and match, pick your meat, pick your sauce. Customer's always right. Sam Jones down at the Skylight Inn said once in an interview in our book, he said, when you come here, it's not what you want, it's how much of it. You know, they do what they do. You know, they're proud of what they do. If you want something else, go somewhere else. You know?
That's
how it works. I like that attitude. The kind of thing you're starting to get in chain restaurants and in places like Asheville that don't really have a barbecue tradition of their own are these mix and match places. I call it the International House of Barbecue. You know,
like pancakes. Because it's so standardized that it's not any fun anymore to go.
And they'll give you everybody's sauce. You want mustard sauce from South Carolina, it's probably on the table.
Well, it's hard for these guys in Nashville because they've got people coming up from South Carolina who want a mustard base. They've got people coming from Tennessee who want, I guess, a little more sweet.
You got all
tomato
these
and all that.
Retirees and tourists from Ohio that think it's all about.
And so the courageous thing to do would be to say, I'm serving North Carolina style barbecue and go someplace else if you want.
That said, there are a couple of new places up there that are cooking whole hogs, Eastern North Carolina style. And one of them is run by a guy from Wilson. I think you can't get that kind of barbecue in Wilson anymore, but you can get it at Etowah because there's a guy from Wilson up there
cooking. Is that right? Well, now, all right, here's my other gripe, and I'm sorry to be taking control of this program. But
it's your program.
The other gripe is that the places that I love generally have a modest cost. I mean, the prices have been going up a little bit, but basically these are you're coming out under $10 for a full meal. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have a barbecue, some of the new places, which are really nice places, but you're going to be spending $15, $16, $17, $18 just to get started.
That's unfortunate, I think, because, you know, barbecue historically has been a working man's food, and it was something everybody could afford, and everybody ate. You had all kinds of people in these barbecue places, you know, all up and down the social scale, and it was a nice feel to it. There are still places like that, you know. I can name them. You could name them. We know what they are. There's a famous place in Greensboro has a sublime barbecue sandwich. It costs you $3.25.
What is this? You
can I name?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stamey's.
At Stamey's. Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking, where could this be?
$3.25, and you know that's less than a Big Mac.
And then you got enough money to get the ice cream and peach cobbler.
That's right. And somebody has stayed up all night cooking that meat. You know, it's slow food. It comes fast to the table, but it's slow food.
Well, all right, now, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you,
no.
But you mentioned Stamey's.
Yes.
You mentioned Wilbur's.
Uh-huh.
And then you mentioned the places down there south of Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to say what is your favorite place, but of those, which ones of those do you just really have to visit if you're going to be in North Carolina?
I think there are 10 or 12 places that would turn up on anybody's list of great places, because on a given day they might be cooking the best barbecue in the state. I mean, if you're cooking with wood, there is some variation,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I hesitate to start naming them.
Well, you've named two.
I've named a few. I don't want to leave anybody out, you know. But, you know, in Piedmont style, Stamey's, I mentioned, Little Richard's on Country Club Road in Winston-Salem's a great place. Red Bridges Barbecue Lodge in Shelby is terrific. In the town of Lexington, there are four or five places. I mean, there's Wayne Monk's Lexington Barbecue. There's Smiley's, a couple of others. Let's see. Here in the middle, sort of no man's land, you got Keith Allen here north of Chapel Hill. Stay away from the one south of Chapel Hill, but north of Chapel Hill.
Now, you just say stay away. Our people, I know, love it. Love Keith's Southern Branch, but
okay. Well,
it's cooked. But it's cooked with gas.
He leases it to folks, and mm-hmm. they cook it with gas. And you know, it might be, if you're sitting out front, it might be better to eat that than to drive halfway to Hillsboro.
Yeah.
I'm tough, I'm harsh. And
well, I'm glad you are, but let's take a break and then come back and you can be as harsh as, will you be as harsh as you can? John Reed and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with John Reed. We're talking about barbecue, and we're about to run out of time. What I got you here was to talk about barbecue in the context of the 2016 recent elections, and you have a story to tell.
Yeah, I do. You know, it's easy to get barbecue wrong if you're a politician campaigning in North Carolina. A lot of stories, you know them, Rufus Edmiston and others, that said something ill-advised about barbecue and paid a price for it. I'll tell those stories next time I come on your show.
All right, that's the deal, because
but
they're good ones.
Speaking of being ill-advised, I think Hillary Clinton was ill-advised. When I gave this talk, you heard it was before the election, and I talked about the barbecue tactics of the different candidates and said that if Hillary wins the election, which in North Carolina, which we all thought she was going to do, it will be despite her barbecue stance.
And what was her – Hillary doesn't – I love Hillary, all that, yeah. But I don't – I wouldn't pick her out as somebody likely to know very much about barbecue.
Let me tell you, somebody took Trump to the right place. He went to Stamey's, okay? And there are these pictures in the newspaper, him standing there with the wait staff. He's got his arms around a couple of the waitresses, and everybody's grinning at the camera. And, you know, this is a down-home place. This is Stamey's. It says on their sign, old-fashioned barbecue. I mean, he might get in trouble with some of the people in the East because it's a Piedmont place. But, but you know, he went to the right place if you want to show that you're in touch with common folk of North Carolina, okay?
Real barbecue.
Real barbecue, exactly. Now, Hillary didn't go as far wrong as Obama, President Obama, whose favorite place is in Asheville. It's a place called 12 Bones where he eats blueberry chipotle sauce on his ribs. But, you know, he's a Chicago. He's a rib man. And anyhow, Hillary, somebody sent her to a place in Charlotte called the Midwood Smokehouse, which is
one of these new barbecue places.
Yeah, it is. And let me say, they're on our list of certified places because they're wood, they're wood cooking, but they're wood cooking a great many things, including pork shoulder and brisket and ribs. But it's a for want of a better word, it's a yuppie kind of place.
It's elitist. It fosters the image that we got stuck with, that we're college professors upper.
Charlotte has this problem, you know, that they're kind of uneasy about their relationship with North Carolina, and they want to be big league like Atlanta. So this is a barbecue place with an executive chef. You know, that's his title, you know, and they're cooking brisket and they're cooking ribs and that kind of thing. They're serving them with craft beer, you know. So, I mean, it's good food, but, you know.
I'm up to $25 already. Yeah.
Well, you know, so far as the electoral implications go, you might as well have gone to a tapas bar, you know. It's not going to win you any votes, you know. You may be solidifying your base in Charlotte, but.
Well, now, we've had this argument before, and I'm not sure we have time to have it again, but you just say there's no good barbecue in Charlotte.
Well, there's really good barbecue nearby. Kyle Fletcher.
I remember, now, I loved, there was a place, I don't think you liked it, but I loved the Old Hickory House that was out on.
You know, I never got there.
And just about the time I was winning arguments that Charlotte had good barbecue, they closed up.
Well, I'll tell you one of those stories. Michelle Obama, once she announced that the Democratic convention was going to be in Charlotte, talked about, you know, the nice people and all of this, and said, and they have great barbecue. Well, that caused a great deal of puzzlement, even in Charlotte. You know, the mayor said, well, Charlotte's barbecue can be good, but it's not great. He said he's had great barbecue in Charlotte, but it was brought in on a truck. You know?
Well,
and the newspaper ran an editorial, said Charlotte equals great barbecue. Who knew? I mean, so.
Well, that's not really fair. It's just we didn't have restaurants, but we got great church barbecues, including Mallard Creek.
Mallard Creek, yeah.
Barbecue. Now, do you go to those places and check them out?
Mallard Creek?
Well, Mallard Creek and the other smaller barbecues that.
Well, DJ, I do, but I tell you what, I've been to three around here in Chapel Hill run by churches.
Uh-huh.
Every single one of them was cooking with gas.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame. They had good Brunswick stew, I think. Bought some of the Brunswick stew.
So what do they do? They're not really doing it like Mallard Creek where they cook it overnight. They contract it out and get
well,
somebody
no,
else.
Well, no, the guys from the church bring in their gas cookers and they cook shoulders and make the sauce, but. If somebody finds
well, before we quit,
yes,
give me some good news about barbecue.
Good news. Well, the good news is that there are new wood cooking places. There tend to be these upscale places, mm-hmm. but they are cooking with
Picnic
wood.
Is one that I hear people talking about.
Yes,
a lot.
Picnic in Durham is doing Whole Hogs.
What about the ones in Chapel Hill? We have some relatively
a place called the Pig. You know, you can get. You play your cards right, you can get good North Carolina barbecue there. You got to order correctly.
They
also barbecue and tofu, you know. But this is Chapel Hill. Come on.
But what is the secret to ordering correctly at
well,
the Pig?
If you want North Carolina barbecue, you order the pulled pork shoulder, and you use the North Carolina sauce on it. I
mean, but it's cooked. It's cooked with wood.
I believe they're doing. One of these hybrid cookers, which, as I said, is okay. You know, you're getting the smoke. You're using the gas just to maintain
the furrows in your forehead are bending because I don't think you like what.
It's a slippery slope.
This is like waterboarding is not torture.
It's a slippery slope, DJ. And you have to be careful because the temptation, you know, you might forget to put the wood chips in or something.
One of the best pieces that I read in the New York Times last year was your piece about barbecue. And the thing I loved about it was the way you can blend in facts with humor. And so I hope that you're working on some other things. Anything we can look forward to?
Oh, DJ, I don't know. I just sort of play it by ear these days. I might write up something from this.
From the story about the Charlotte thing. I can hear it right now.
Let me say one thing. If I've done the Pig an injustice, I apologize. And people should not take my word for it that they're not cooking 100% with wood. I'm not sure. They might be. And you should check it out.
Well, you've inspired me to go check out even more, not just to get the facts straight, but to enjoy some good barbecue and some good, not quite barbecue in North Carolina. Thanks, John Reed.
Thank you,
I hope you'll come back soon.
Anytime.
Guest has been John Reed. We've been talking about, of course, barbecue. And I'll be right back here with another great guest, and I hope you'll join us then.